what is it, the 22nd of August, 2018. I'm telling you, it's Wednesday night, and we're going to listen to some jazz. In the background, you're listening to Ben Peterson from an album called That Old Feeling. Listen to Ben. That guitarist. But I have on the line with me all the way from New Jersey on the other end of the country, a person that can discuss jazz. As a matter of fact, he and I was discussing one of the greatest guitar jazz musicians that have ever lived and is alive today. Wait a minute, just listen to this boy play this thing.
Oh yeah.
Listen. Yes. Oh, that's good.
Well,
Miguel, tell me, is that good music or not?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
It's great that these musicians keep this music alive.
Isn't it the truth? Because there's so much, I call it 10 alley music made from these guys. Everybody want to rap about it. Tell me, we were talking about one of the greatest jazz guitarists that ever lived. What's his name, Miguel?
Kenny Burrell. Great guy. Yeah, I had an opportunity to take his course at UCLA. So many years ago, prior to his death. It was called Allingtonia.
Yeah.
And basically, he was professing Duke Ellington as being one of the greatest American, if not the greatest American composers of all time.
Well, who did he say was the greatest American jazz composer of all time?
Not just jazz, just American music composer.
Yeah, like Eric Copeland. Yes, like Eric Copeland. Yeah. I think he was one of America's greatest classical composers. This number that he's singing right now is... Come on, who recorded this, man?
To make you feel my love.
Where'd you hear that from? Huh? See?
You gotta bump that volume up a little.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My love.
To make you feel my love. So who sang that?
To make you feel my love. Oh my God, it's right up to my tongue.
All right. This number right here is called Some of These Days. I like the way he's... Let me turn that up. Okay. There it is. Yeah.
That this music that was created here in this country, it's gone through phases. Some believe that what we're listening to today is just another derivative of jazz. But why people not listening to this? It's just
could it be that they're just
the fad and what, and then who they're marketing for?
Well, I think that something has distracted, not the particular music student, because a student of jazz and of music will love it regardless. He'll go and sing it in the coffee shops and the little clubs on the corner, and especially in New York. You guys have a great history when you cross the river over there and leave Jersey and come under that bridge into New York City. I'm sure they have a lot of jazz clubs out and bopping, right?
There's still jazz clubs all around, but in general, I think there has to be a greater push for this music. This is why, at this point, it's more of a folkloric music here in the United States. I mean, when you get people like, I'm trying to I'm trying to think right here. I'm sorry, it's a little late in the evening.
Yeah, that's okay.
But when you have this music exhibited in Carnegie Hall, or you have other people who, other interests who push this more as a nostalgia.
I mean, if you listen to Ben Peterson playing this piano right now, and he's relatively a newcomer, young boy, listen, this boy's hitting those keys. Look at that.
But then again, we were talking about that. Who is he reminiscent of?
Oscar Peterson, of course. You see, they have no one else to copy from but the greats. And
here's the question. Jazz has been broken down into eras, you know, and we moved from, I mean, the last great era was of jazz, I believe, was, in my opinion, the fusion era.
Yeah.
And that's where we're still at.
Yeah.
We're still in the fusion.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lack of coolness in the air. See, you had to be cool back in the day when I was a young man to listen to jazz. I used to wear my black thin pants. Man, they think the skinny jeans was... No, skinny jeans been out. Because if you look at the old pictures of Miles Davis, he always wore those skinny black jeans and that nice thin lapel double-breasted coat. And
yeah, the tapered pants. Man,
I had all of that. That's it. Yes, yes. That's what
I
want.
Back now.
Yeah, but why are they selling it so expensive? My goodness, I didn't pay all that when I bought my first DB. Man, I went to a friend of mine's 60th birthday party, and the guy that came to pick me up, he said, "Why didn't you wear any slacks?" I said, "I don't have." Ooh, I like that. Ooh, that's nice.
Here's the answer.
Well, you know, I told him, I said, "I don't have to buy anything new. I'm cool. I wore white shorts to the party." That's how cool I was. It was a 60th birthday party. This friend of mine had recently bought him his first house. So he invited all of his best friends by. And I was cordially invited. So I said, "Well, what the heck? Let me go." And we had a ball. We had a ball. I am recovering very well. Ooh, listen to this as it ends. Listen. Yeah, that's jazz. That's jazz. That's jazz. Ben Peterson, people, and I want you to know that his name is Ben Peterson. The album is called "That Old Feeling." Now, I believe that you can pick up this piece of music by... Oh, I didn't have my readers on, but I'll have that all on the website. No, let me get my readers now. Got to move away from the mic. Miguel, tell us a little bit about your background. How long have you been listening to classical jazz music? Come on.
As far as classical jazz or whatever you would want to call it, I think my favorite era is the bebop era, if that's what you call classical jazz.
Why?
But, you know.
Why is that your favorite?
I believe I like the abstract, you know, and I like people being avant-garde. So these guys like Miles Davis and the early John Coltrane and so on, they came out and they basically took a very structured, very traditional form of jazz,
right,
and took it somewhere else.
Well, I'm going to play one right now. When I Grow Too Old to Dream, and I remember listening to this because this was, let's see, the Oscar Meninian, and I can't see the other name. The print's kind of small. But When I Grow Too Old to Dream, you probably remember that number. It's a classic. It's a classic old number.
You got those standards.
Yeah, well, the standards will never go away. Yeah.
I'm still trying to think about it. Maybe you know who it is. the trumpeter, the guy from Louisiana who had a tenure in the Lincoln Center.
I think you're talking about Whit Marcellus. No.
There we go, Whit Marcellus.
Whit Marcellus.
So
yes.
going back to my thought that jazz is more of a folklore type music, because let's think about it and really come down to it. Jazz is probably, if not the only true American music,
yeah.
If we consider this jazz being that, then obviously we are at an era now where it's this kind of bebop sound and traditional sound.
My ship.
Type.
I made a mistake. The name of this number is My Ship, and I remember Cannonball Adderley playing this and Nancy Wilson singing it. This is a classic. That's right, My Ship.
Well, there you go, Cannonball Adderley. You can't really consider Cannonball. He was more of a poppy type.
Cannonball and his brother Nat Adderley. And if you have that Nancy Wilson album where she sings some classics, Miguel, just classic. I have some here in the studio, but I wanted to dedicate a lot of time to Ben's Ben Patterson's That Old Feeling. He's such an astute player. I love the way his fingers.
No, I love Cannonball.
Oh, okay. I thought that you were speaking negative.
No. I love all forms of jazz. Cannonball Adderley is mercy, mercy, mercy.
Oh my gosh, that's back in the day, brother. You know, back in the day, yes. You cannot. Back in the day, if you compare with ba da da ta, say it, boy. Ba-da-da-da-da. Yes, when my ship comes in.
That's some good stuff. You know what I also love, if you ever do get stuff? You probably like this since you're a Coltrane fan. Remember he did a lot of stuff for Johnny Hartman?
Johnny Hathaway? What did
no,
you
say? Oh, Johnny Hartman.
Okay, yes. Yes.
Beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff.
Those Coltrane ballads, was brilliant. He was brilliant, man. It's the narcotics, the life, the strength. And you know what? I watched this special on Netflix, and I'll tell you the truth. I think half of that was a strain of being black in America, because they didn't treat our great jazz musicians with class and respect. Only the clubs.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, come on, man. When they went to play in the South, where did they stay?
So, are you talking about that this strife that the song musician faced?
There was racial tension. There was racial tension even back in the day. The jazz musician.
No, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But are you saying that this basically led musicians to narcotics?
No, you know what led them to narcotics. Ooh, that sure is a good question, Miguel. That sure is a good question. And for those of you that are listening to the show, Miguel and I are communicating on FaceTime, real time, so he knows if I'm lying and I know if he's lying. All right. And Miguel is an educated Hispanic. For those of you that are some of my, for some of my white friends that listen to me, I have Hispanic friends. He grew up in East LA. That's right. I don't know why he took
LA,
that first street bus to get to UCLA. What?
East LA has a rich musical tradition.
Oh, East LA, look, man, that's where you think, what's his name came from? La Bamba.
He wasn't from East LA.
He was from, come on.
No.
He wasn't from Boyle Heights.
He's from the Valley.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's from Coima or something like that.
Oh, my.
But then again, you know, we had other guys like the Midnighters. Remember the Midnighters?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are old school dudes. But I'm talking about the rich tradition and the simple fact that this music was played in my neighborhood alongside with the traditional Mexican music.
Yeah. Well, I grew up around music because I grew up in the black church. And one of the things that I love about the Queen of Soul, Aretha, is when she plays most of her...
Oh, they
to hold,
by the way.
To dream, that's the number.
I'll have you
to remember. Listen, hey.
When I grow too old to dream,
and it sounds like
your love will live in my heart.
But this is a white guy playing and singing.
So kiss me, my sweet.
Kiss me, my sweet.
And so let us part.
So let us part.
When I grow too old to dream, your love will live in my heart.
See, Miguel, I'm going to tell you now, man. Hey, I am not going to let a little backslide in life hold me back. I try to tell my listeners that come to my website, whatever happens in your life, stay on the sunny side of the street. Look at the bright side. Now, I got to go Sunday to get an MRI on my head because of my left leg. It's killing me. He said it's not sciatic. And he said sometimes when we put you under, we have a breathing tube in your neck, and when we pull it out, we can mess with nerves. So this is what I told the doc. I told him, I said, if you find anything wrong with my spine, leave it alone because you're not cutting on that. I'll just suffer with the pain the rest of my life. But I know how to deal with my pain. Anybody with common sense knows how to deal with pain. But I am enjoying my life immensely. And I do want to get some newsworthiness out of this. Wait a minute. Yeah, let's listen to Ben. Listen to this. Listen to his keyboard work. Yeah. Nice. Come. He's making the keyboard talk to us. Yeah. Guitars. Listen to that. Hey. Damn. See, you're supposed to be working in the garage and you listening to jazz from Los Angeles. What?
I'm not working.
Some good jazz. Thank you for coming to my website, johnecoleman.org. And by the way, for those of you that's been coming to the website, you need to listen to the last few things that I put up on the website, some exciting exegetical preaching, telling you the truth in the old Christian style, not in this new stuff. I'm talking about the old style of biblical exposition. And I'm so glad that you folk have been coming to the site, listening to these pieces. And obviously, because of the number of hits on my website, you must be sharing this with many of your friends. And so, you know, just Wednesday night is Kickback Wednesday. And I'm playing a couple of cuts from an album from a friend of mine. And Ben Peterson is the one on the piano. The vocals are by Chris Flory. Now, I don't, wait a minute. Ben Peterson, piano and vocals. That's right. So that's Ben Peterson sounding. And then we have Chris Florey on the guitar and George Delancey on the bass. So this is a nice little trio. And if they ever come to Los Angeles again, I will be sure to go hear him. A great album. And let me see, Miguel, would you be happy if I told you that it was recorded? Let's see where it was recorded. Yes, it was recorded in the Systems 2 recording studios in Brooklyn, New York, on June 16, 2017. Yeah, they recorded in New York. Oh, they're very cosmopolitan, man. Yeah. These are some good guys. They some of the best. And he even signed my CD. So, good for you. Boy, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, to see this man walk around in his backyard, okay, at night, because 3 hours from now, and man, this technology is magnificent. I can't believe it. Well, we're going to continue to listen to some music because I'm celebrating this man's wonderful album. The next one is one written by Stevie Wonder. I'm going to see if, my friend Miguel knows which one this is. Stevie Wonder wrote this, man. Come on.
Get the melody.
You haven't caught it yet. Keep listening. He just changed the rhythm. Come on now. Named after him when his first daughter was born.
Isn't she lovely?
Yeah, that's it. I knew you did it. Yeah. This is Ben Peterson.
Ha! He played around with the melody.
Well, you know, he can do it, because I wouldn't mind being in a nice supper club, eating some good salmon and rice, and tofu, and listen to Ben Peterson. Isn't she lovely? Yeah. Ah, we're in the house now. See, Miguel, this is what I do. Listen, you tell your friends, when they reach 70 and above, first of all, retain friends. That's the first thing that an old man should do. Oh, look at that beautiful little girl there. My goodness, I have to change my whole program. The princess is in the house. She's in the house. Now, this is jazz. Can you do a little jazz dance for me, little princess? Go ahead. That's it. Look at that girl do that. My goodness. Her daddy taught her how to boogie-woogie. That's what that is.
Oh, no, that girl has it in her.
I know she does. Well, it must come from her mother, because you never could dance.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, Miguel,
you
want to
see a piece I drew?
Yeah, let me see it. While I'm listening to Ben Peterson, I want to see this piece you drew.
Look at that.
Oh, now that is unique. Now what you need to do is you need to send me a picture of that, and then when I post up the webcast, I'll let that picture be the guiding picture. Next to
another piece.
Oh my gosh, Miguel, this is beautiful artwork. That is beautiful.
I did this for my wife here.
Oh, wait a minute. When are you going to have the gallery? Look at this.
I'm surprised she liked it.
Are you kidding? That is just fantastic artwork.
Maya wants to show her artwork. Look at this one.
Well, let me see Maya's. Oh, my goodness, stars all over the place, bursting in the middle of the clouds. And then right in the midst of the cloud is a heart saying, I love you, and an orange I love you heart. Oh, my.
Well, you should see this. She did a nice little piece one set.
Well,
look at this one. This is
that great. Is amazing. Oh, look at that. I love the colors. I love everything about it, Maya. It's beautiful.
Look at that one.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, if you could see this, you would say, this is an art piece. Maybe one day I'll start doing a live video feed. I don't know. And you say, I'll do it on Facebook or something. And then everybody would...
Like that, Tom? Look at that one.
Oh, that. Miguel, why couldn't we do that?
What do you mean?
I could call you once a week and I can have a Facebook Live with you on this thing. And look at what we could do. We could feature good parenting, men having decent conversations. We could train these young men on how to have friends and how to talk.
And to tell you the truth.
Tell me the truth.
To tell you the truth, I don't know what it is. She's just a heaven sent.
You know what? I told you when you start having children that it would be like that. Because once you... And Maya is such a beautiful princess. Maya, you keep your daddy's heart smiling all the time. Yes, you do. Oh, that's nice. She kissed her daddy. And I'm telling you, it's good. See, Miguel used to tell me that he was never going to get hitched. But
no,
I told, oh, yes. But he did, and isn't he glad for it?
Oh, well, no.
She Dorothy, is lucky.
Here's my wife with her boot.
Oh, for real? Well, I'm going to have to play the next number since your wife is coming on.
That big boot?
Because
no,
this song is called Say a Little Say a Little Prayer.
I'm not usually the kind of man.
Demanding all my time now.
Sing it, boy. Sing it.
Daddy. I trust in my own mind and my own hands to make my way.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes I feel I've got no control at all. Over whether the fortunes of my life.
John, I'm going to call you back, okay?
No, I'm loving looking at your furniture and your house and everything. It's wonderful.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me? I'm just putting this place together.
Come on, man. It's beautiful there. That's your office right there, man. Look at that.
No, that's our desk for now. And it's a mess right here.
Okay.
Just then, oh, look at this piece. I bought this piece a long time ago.
Oh, that is nice.
That's a photograph.
Well, you know what you just did? You just saved me a trip to New York.
Yes, I hear small prayers.
But listen, buddy, I'm going to let you go because
some folks choose.
I want to talk about Ben's music. Thank you, Miguel, for tuning in, and I'll be talking to you real soon.
I will, definitely. You be safe. Tell me what happened as a result.
You are absolutely correct.
Put their faith in.
Thanks, man.
Prophets great and
small. Later, brother.
All right.
Folks, they think we'll be there to pick them up when they fall. But at those times when there's nothing I can do, when all my plans and schemes seem like they might fall through, just then your face comes suddenly into view, and I say a small prayer.
I say a small prayer for you.
Yes, I say a small prayer to you.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're listening to A Night with Ben Peterson on the piano from an album called That Old Feeling. Beautiful music. I hope to meet Ben when he comes to Los Angeles. I'm excited. Listen to his fingers roll. Thank you. This number is called The Best Thing for You Would Be Me. I like that. That song. Sing it.
I say a small prayer
to you. Oh, I like that old feeling music. Ben Patterson. Have I been saying Peterson? It's Patterson. Ben Patterson. I just turned on the light here in the Lucy Coleman studio. When I listen to jazz, I like to listen to it in a darker room. And I want to thank Miguel Guerrero for being my in-studio guest for today's Wednesday night chilling out. Yeah, I broke the rules a little bit. I had two tacos from Taco Bell. I haven't had it in a long time, and I just had a taste for it. So I went out, and now yesterday you would have been proud of me because I had broccoli and corn with the sautéed in a little butter and some seasoning stuff on there. Nice. I fill my stomach with that. Good stuff. And then today I got a couple of tacos and a little chicken salad stuff from Taco Bell. Enjoying my Wednesday evening. And I'm enjoying Mario. He keeps my mind stimulated. We talk an awful lot about things that are happening. And when I look around to see what's happening in the nation today, it makes me go right back to Ben Patterson album and say, I don't even want to talk about the news. I want to go somewhere over the rainbow, way up high. Here's another cut from that great little piece of music, that old feeling. Ben Patterson on the piano and the vocals. Make sure I had the songs right because I was looking at the album while I was bebopping. I played Isn't She Lovely, written by Stevie Wonder, Say a Small Prayer by Ben Patterson, and then the one, The Best Thing for You Would Be Me. I'm thinking this is Irving Berlin and Somewhere Over the Rainbow, because that is not Somewhere Over the Rainbow. So I kind of got it mixed up here, so let bring me up to par. This is called The Best Thing for You Would Be Me. My apology. I read the wrong line. Now, PJ, what? Continue to play. Ben. And that's Patterson, not Peterson. But it reminds me of Oscar Peterson. That's why I keep having these little slips. DeLange on the bass. DeLancey. And listen to Chris Florio on that guitar, will you? Ben Patterson. I love it. And I hope that you guys are loving it out there. We got a couple of more numbers to listen to. That was a number called The Best Thing For You Would Be Me. That didn't sound like the next song that we're going to listen to, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And we're listening to an album entitled That Old Feeling. Because when you listen to this, this is not new school music. This is the kind of music that I grew up listening to when my daddy would play the piano at home. Because my daddy loved Oscar Peterson also. Lionel Hampton. Man, I'm telling you, the Count Basie Band. That's what I grew up listening to. Oh, my goodness. Now, you know, if some of these youngsters want to really do something exciting, wouldn't it be great if they would imitate, and not agitate the old masters and play it right? I was on the internet today, and they got another black woman sounding just like Aretha Franklin already. And so you're going to find the wannabe this and wannabe that. But there's only one Aretha, and there's only one Ben Patterson. And I want you to hear him play this next number now, Somewhere Over the Cotton Picking Rainbow. No, I said cotton picking. Enjoy this. You hear that roll? Yeah. Y'all want me to sing? You don't want me to. Somewhere over the rainbow, way, way up high. Play it. That's Ben Patterson, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, from an album that came out last year in 2017. I'm just getting wind of it. It's called That Old Feeling. He and this, you know, with this trio that he's playing with, and of course that's Ben Patterson on the piano and the vocals, and then you have Chris Flory on the guitar and George Delancey on bass. There's no drums. There doesn't need to be any drums, because what this album does is it opens up to my mind the idea that I can listen to each of the instruments work off of each other and play and leave me with this beautiful melodic sound. Oh, now I'm going to play the last cut on the album. I didn't think I'd be able to get it on this hour, but, and I was, again, Miguel, if you're listening to it, tell all your friends in New York City to tune in to PJ's website. Yeah, why not have jazz on Wednesday nights, huh? And I'd like to do a live jazz thing. And wouldn't that be great if I can call somebody on FaceTime, play some jazz, and let them come in on it? Now, see, I'd become popular overnight, right? Don't want to do that. Let's continue to listen to a number called Hard Times. All right. And see what that's about. Here we go. Hard Times. David Fathead Newman, played by Ben Patterson. That Old Feeling is the name of the album, and that last number that I just played right there, that's going to be the theme for my Wednesday night presentation. So, Ben, if you're listening from wherever you are, thank you very much for the CD. I love it. And you guys, if you've been listening to me, you know I love Eric Reid. I I love his, ooh, but if I do a jazz thing on a Wednesday night, it's going to be this last song that I just played, Hard Times. And why that, ladies and gentlemen? Because I believe we're headed for some of the hardest times that this country has ever seen. I'm going to tell you, if you've been listening to the news, you've been listening to your president who's crazy out of his head. I must be getting well because I'm ready to talk about somebody now, but I don't know how that man got in the office of the presidency of the United States of America. But yes, I do. You mean to tell me that white folk hated Barack Obama so bad that they had to stoop to put this in? Now, when he had his TV show, you know, and all that kind of stuff, I never watched that because I never have been too much for a variety show. That's why I didn't care for Reagan that much. Reaganomics and all that kind of stuff, I didn't understand that. I took political science in college in 1973, 74. I never voted after that year. I just stopped completely. Saw that it was all a hoax and a joke. But look at our country. Our country is royally messed up. Look at our churches. My goodness. You know, Mario was telling me about when he went to Haiti that time and planted that amaranth seed down there. Can I tell you this? And this is true about these missionaries because I was looking at some of the missionaries where they're trying to go help some of these people around the world that are suffering tremendously. And he said that a lot of the children in Haiti told him, once they found out that he was just like them, they said, oh, we thought you were one of these missionaries. He said, what do you mean? Well, they come and talk to us on the street, but they just buy sex from us. And he told me the deal, and I couldn't believe it. And I had a brother by my house that goes to a church that sponsors a missionary, and I asked him, did you know where that money went? And do you know what it's going for? And he said, no. He just kind of nonchalant, no, because most people, when they go to church, they don't know where the money is going. And we were looking at the poor people of Haiti, how they're still suffering. That's why your president, I don't want him getting stuff on me to take me to court and burn me up, because they'll probably put me in a wooden chair and pour gasoline on it to make it appear that a firestorm came and burned me up too. You know, that's another thing I want to talk about. You go on there and type in aftermath of California fires on your browsers, and you look at some of these and look at some of these neighborhoods burned down. The trees didn't burn, but the house burnt. Can you believe that the shrubbery right across the line stopped burning? And they said, well, a wild forest fire wind. That was no forest fire wind. I've been telling you people to keep your eyes on these chemtrails for years. This is the government planning this stuff. Did you know that they can spray this stuff down here? They can spray it down. I was in my backyard today getting ready to, well, I was brushing some dog hair off of my lawn chairs. And when I brushed it off, I saw that some of the color from the chair came off on the brush. And when I, you know, rubbed my finger up against it, it was powdery. And I said, what is this? Chemtrails. It's the result of chemtrails. They're dumping it on us in our cities all around us. That's why I can listen to a nice jazz album and enjoy a nice Wednesday evening. Because I'm telling you people, when I face the world that I live in, these freaks are either trying to kill us. Oh, that's Harcourt. He saw that black and white cat that was dropping a turd on my front lawn. Harcourt, you're slow. You got to speed it up. Oh, he ran around the side of the house. He's going to get him from the side now. Harcourt is just like Bro Man. When Bro Man was alive, he kept my webcast very lively also. What have I ever done musically? I'm going to let you hear it. I play this ever so now and often, and I have a few minutes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this number. This is the only song that I wrote of record that became famous. And it's called I Found My Love. And I want you to listen to this. This is, I wrote it, and Clarence Armstrong and my brother, which was a part of a singing group called M.M. and the Peanuts, sung this, but I wrote it. Check it out. Tell me what you feel about it. No, that's it. Armstrong sings it. Contribution to the music world. The only record that I have ever written, and it was recorded, and my name is on the CD. The name of the CD, if you can buy it anywhere, because that was old school music. And Hardcore, take it easy. It's going to be all right. It's such a wonderful, warm winter evening. The name of the album is... Brown Eyed Soul, The Soul of East L.A., Volume 1. That's the one that they put this on. And that's why I was so happy to have Miguel Guerrero on with me today, because he's from that part of town and become very astute. He's a school teacher in, I think, Manhattan. And very bright young man, went to UCLA with my daughters. And as a matter of fact, he joined the church that I pastored. Yes, he did. He joined the church, and, I won't talk about that, because, you know, when you have young men in your church, they were petty jealousies. I didn't mind having Hispanics in the church next to me, because I've always viewed Hispanic brothers as my first cousins, some of the nicest people I've ever met. That's why I can't understand all of the bad talk about Hispanics. And, you know, it's like a clip I saw on Facebook, I think it was, where this teacher was trying to tell the students to talk American. And an Hispanic boy got up and walked out of the classroom, and somebody wrote in the comment section that that doofus woman out of nowhere, Southern California, is, it's nothing but Mexico. It's always belonged to Mexico. I think that that's what happens to us. I have never been the kind of person that thought that because he possessed something, and had the copyright on something, that you would be sued if you, if somebody else used it. It's a privilege to use the work of someone else. I would hope that somebody can take this record, I Found My Love, and do it in 2018, 2019 style. You know, I could redo it here in my studio and put out a cut, and they say, man, listen to PJ sing. I sung in the choir for 17 years, so I know how to sing, and I love music. And I want to thank my friend for sending me this album, and I hopefully every Wednesday night before I retire, I'll do one of these shows, play some nice music, and have some real good conversation. I want to take the time also and thank those of you that remembered me when I was on that operating table. I haven't thanked you for that because, you know, in my mind, I don't think anyone was even concerned whether I lived or died. But for those of you that did, I want to take this time to say I thank you for your prayers. I guess God still wants me to do some things on the planet. That's my philosophy. If you don't have anything else to do, you're going to die. But if God has left you with a charge and that charge is not complete, you must. What's that old song we used to sing in a Baptist church? A charge to keep I have and a God to glorify. I mean, these kind of things are embedded in my mind. And I think that if America, our country, would embed these things on their minds, there wouldn't be too much hate. So much hate. I don't understand racism. I don't understand how one man could hate another man because of the color of his skin. I don't know why anyone would hate someone because they love persons of their same sex. I don't know why anyone would hate those persons. I think that's a greater thing, because when you love someone of your own sex, you are most unlikely to ever hurt them. And I'm going to tell you, black men's lives are in a danger. I was looking at something on some people in New Orleans. I forget the Haven House. They were trying to help some of these youngsters and black people that had just had absolutely nothing. And one of the keys that grabbed me about, yeah, it was called Covenant House in New Orleans. One of the things that grabbed me about the staff is that the director of the staff was saying, you have to love people. And I told the boys here, I said, man, I wouldn't mind getting out of this house, going to New Orleans, getting me a little one-bedroom apartment, and help those people, help those youngsters. I sure would. It's very easy. All you have to do is love them instead of criticizing them. Parents has given up on their children, left them out there, and the child becomes a brainiac out of his mind. You don't talk about it. The only thing that can break that hold is love. And I don't think enough of us are loving people around us. I want you to offer up some timbers for my son, Morio, because in October he'll be going to Papua again, and he's going to do a great work down there. He's already done it. He's put his finances into that, and pray for him that he'll be safe, and he'll be able to help the Papuan people. Because Morio is not the kind of man that's going to go somewhere and try to make a lot of money and buy him a BMW and show you what he's driving. Please, I am so grateful that some of you out there that know me are still communicating with me. A lot of people don't want to talk with me anymore. Someone asked me about my radio producer, Mark Ramsey. I said, he doesn't call. He doesn't call. He's not interested. See, I have the same number. But I'm telling you, a lot of people don't like me now. I don't like what he is. What do you mean you don't like what I am? I was that when you knew me. See, when you tell people the truth about who you are and what you believe, you don't need anybody to be your friend based upon what they think you are to be. You be who you are. That's one important lesson that I learned in the LGBT community. You love the person for who they are, where they are. And I don't like all personalities in the LGBT community. I don't. Some of them make me very nervous because I think they're overboard with the way they communicate. But I can't change these people. These people, if they ever would change, they have to want to change. It's not to me to judge them, to try to change them. It's up to me to do what? To love them. And for those of us that say that we are truly Christians, that's how come I don't get it. America was supposed to be a Christian nation years ago. I know. It was racism. It was hatred. It was unfair practices happening. My God. I went to visit the doctor a couple of days ago. I had to go and see this neurologist, and so that they would, you know, put me on that machine, you know. And there was a white guy there that was 84. And you know me, I talk with everybody. He's in the waiting room like me. We're waiting to see Dr. K, which is the Kaiser Permanente's best doctor in the field. I didn't get out of there till almost 6 o'clock. But we started to talk, me and the white fella. And jazz, because he saw me bebopping my head. I was listening to jazz in my headset. And I told him I was listening to some Coltrane. So we start talking about Miles and everything else. And some of the black people in the waiting room were looking at me like, what's he doing talking with him? But why not? You see, and that's what's wrong with our country. You know, just because Donald Trump is in the White House doesn't mean that you have to walk around and be a fool. Just because Donald Trump is in the White House and a lot of white people voted for him don't mean that you should hate them. You're supposed to be a Christian. Oh my goodness, I hope this isn't a bill collector trying to get some bills from me. Oh, I see, I was by, I had a young man came by to see me, and he told me about a family that died on the highway. And he said that he would send me the link. So I'm going to have to tell him, okay, I got it. And I'll tell him that. Okay, I got it. Thanks, Reginald. Okay. I should have said Reggie. Well, anyhow, we had the most wonderful conversation. He was telling me about his illness. I was telling him about mine. We were eyeball to eyeball. He had watery blue eyes, and I have these brown eyes. I'm looking at him. His disease got him in a chair, and his dear children were with him as they brought him to see the head neurologist. And we had a great conversation, and I loved it. And there were two dear black ladies there, two sisters, and they heard me speaking. And you know me, people. When I speak out in public, I speak what's on my heart. I don't cloud my words because I have a certain audience in front of me. I feel what I feel, say what I say, be who I want to be. I've always been that. I think that's why the board in my church in Olivet didn't care for me, because I said what I felt. And they couldn't come back with nothing because they had nothing to come back with. So I'm the pastor. What you contending with me for? What, you want some dumb jackass up there that's not thinking? They were, well, we want to do this. I said, we don't need it. These people need Bible. These people don't need singing instruments and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to come here to look at these fat, ugly women sing. I come here to hear something from the Word of God. And I'm just not talking about fat women. That's the way I view anybody that wants to sing for the pastor. You're fat and ugly. Sit down, open up that Bible, and when I say go to Ecclesiastes, find the damn book and stop asking what testament is that in. But you want to sing all day. And singing ain't never saved nobody. Man, hey, you guys think I am not a mean pastor. I am not. I am a pastor that is fed up with the Tommy Rot foolishness that has been going on in the church. Well, look at how you living. How am I living? Listen, let me tell you guys something. Nobody knows how you're living unless they're walking in your shoes. I remember when I told people I wasn't going to pastor anymore. Somebody, one of them told me I was going to hell. What? But that shows you how backwards some people are. God told me to do what he told me to do. I'm still doing it. And I can prove it because you're still listening. And you know that I'm telling you the truth about these racial matters in our country. You know it. Don't tell me that it's hard to love them. It's not hard to love them. You love your children, don't you? Don't you love the people that hang around you? Well, you love them in the same way. Like I love that gentleman that I was talking to and the two ladies. Man, the lady brought up Trump. I said, excuse me, sister, but we weren't discussing that aspect of the president. Then I said, he's a president. He can do whatever he wants until the cabinet or somebody impeaches him. I said, but because you don't like his policies and he's rich, that's his money. That's not yours. Sister told me he need to do what I want him to do. I just smiled. I didn't say anything because I spoke to many people over the years on the radio like that. And if you've been listening to my radio webcast, you know I don't play. And I'm the same John Coleman, same one. I just had a bad ticker, and I got the ticker fixed. But I'm the same John Coleman. Ain't nothing changed about me. Did I go over an hour? I think I did. And I had no intention on doing so. But I'm so glad that you came to my website. I heard that in the back of somebody's mind. You want to know if you should pray for this country? No, those days are over. God's going to judge this country. You got this big hurricane blowing towards the Hawaiian Islands. Look at it. You got volcanoes coming up on the islands. And now you got a hurricane threatening to zap the west coast of all the chain of islands there. And it's a Category 5 right now and growing. Now, you think God is trying to send us a message or what? And don't you blame that on global warming. I wouldn't be surprised if some of these people up in these jets is causing these weather patterns to do that. Because there's a certain group of people, from what I understand, I've been reading lately, that wants to destroy America because there's too many people here. Either get us fighting with each other, killing one another, not working together as righteous human beings as we should. Well, these people, forget these Illuminati cross-eyed fools. God has given us the key, and the key is not found in a white Jesus or a black Jesus. The key is found in the loving heart that God can give each and every one of us to understand that people from Guatemala, that people from Ghana, that people from other countries that's running to save their lives needs a place to stay, needs some solid food to eat and water to drink, and they can work with us. Our country is big enough, our hearts are large enough that we don't have to start casting people aside. This is the America that we need to go back to. We used to be helpful when anybody came, and now what are we going to call them? Rats from the slums? That man that some of these people put in that White House is a total disgrace. And look, Obama didn't make me feel good either. So don't get it twisted. Because I didn't even vote for Obama. I don't vote at all. I remember my daughters about took my head off. Yeah, but he could be the first. I said, if he's going to be the first black president, it will not go in the history books that he had my vote. I disagree with his policies. I know who his teachers. I know who his teachers are. You want to know what his teachers produce? Ron Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago. That's what his teachers produce. And that's why Chicago is having the problem they have. Let me be the mayor of a major city like that. I'd walk the streets down there and shut that thing down. But one of the last interviews that I saw Emmanuel at, he looked like he was drunk. Drunk, addressing all those young boys shooting each other in Chicago. And you know this, that if that mess ever starts here, I'm going downtown and I'm gonna say, let me speak to the young man. And I tell him, I love you, brothers. Hell, your mom and daddy put you out. System put you down. You can't make a living working in McDonald's. The economy is shot. But I show you how to make it without shooting the brother that you're going to need standing at your side. A man needs to step up to the plate. We need a man in the White House, not an insane asylum. And I'm not against white people. I believe that there's some good white boys out there as well as some good black boys out there. Wouldn't it be great if you can get a president that wasn't a Democrat or wasn't a Republican and didn't have all this money behind him, but had a heart of gold, and everything he said, the nation grow from that heart of gold, that he wouldn't put tariffs on other people's countries to punish them. He would say, it's your time to make money, make it, but just remember us, because when you didn't have a pot to pee in, we gave you one. That's America that I once believed in. Oh, I'm preaching. God bless you. You know the drill. Stay in the Word.